We have one remaining with the individual, and he's not going to let her leave the aircraft at this time.
He made me feel very sure that we had a very real and horrifying threat.
We don't know who he was, where he came from, or where he went.
Hi, folks. It's Ryan Burns. I just wanted to do a quick podcast to comment on something that I've been mulling over in my head recently about this Cooper case. I think that Cooper investigators, Cooper enthusiasts, sometimes don't really appreciate the extreme nature of what Cooper did and the severity of his actions. When we discuss people with no criminal history doing this act, we sometimes are overlooking what this hijacking really was. And what I mean by that is try to imagine yourself doing this. Not in this is a parlor game sort of thing. You know, this is a ha-ha, how would I do it? No, really think about yourself doing this tomorrow, for example. So try to imagine this scenario in your real world. You have a job, bills, family, friends. Now, try to imagine this. Try to imagine that one morning you wake up out of bed, you remove the sheets, you shower, you brush your teeth, you put clothes on, and then you walk into an airport and get on a plane and threaten to murder everybody for your own profit. Like, think about that. Think about actually doing that. Could you see yourself actually doing that tomorrow? What would it take for you to get to that point to where you would do that? Well, hopefully there is no such scenario where you would ever get to that point, because hopefully none of you are that horribly selfish. Hopefully none of you have extreme mental illness to where you would do this. And that's really what this boils down to when we're looking at Cooper suspects. In my mind, Cooper was one of two things. First, this was a criminally minded individual. This was a guy who, again, was willing to threaten the lives of others, at the very least inconvenience others, for his own gain. There is a certain sociopathy in that, where you are so unempathetic to others that you will act this way for your own gain. And not only are you willing to terrify other people, but you're also engaging in an activity for profit that has a pretty good likelihood of you ending up dead or imprisoned for quite a long time, possibly the rest of your life. In fact, the criminal act that you were engaging in, aircraft piracy, up to that point had a 0% success rate. That's right. You were doing something that had a 0% success rate. And the 0% that you're facing was either lifetime incarceration or a violent death at the hands of the FBI or local law enforcement. So is this something that you could see yourself doing tomorrow? Would you risk your life tomorrow for profit? Would you threaten the lives of other people for profit tomorrow? Why? Because you have a pink slip in hand? Because you lost your job? Or because you have some other random grievance that you want a reckoning for? I often like to say that the closest analog to the Cooper hijacking is a bank robbery. The Cooper heist was essentially a clever bank robbery. So, would you rob a bank tomorrow? So just think about that whenever you're looking for a Cooper suspect. Ask yourself, would this person rob a bank? Because that's basically what Cooper's doing. Of course, there are differences in what Cooper did and bank robberies, but the point remains, Cooper was doing the same thing that bank robbers do. He was threatening people, risking his own life, risking imprisonment for profit. So can you see whatever suspect you're interested in actually doing that? Actually be willing to harm others and risk his life, risk imprisonment for profit? If not, then they're probably not Cooper. So it just seems to me that the criminal mindset required to commit this crime is something that is often overlooked by those within the Cooper community. I mean, this is something I've been guilty of in the past as well. But Cooper's criminal psychology is something I've really dwelled on recently. I think it really came to me while I was doing thought exercises about how I would have escaped the area. I was really trying to put myself in this guy's head. But while attempting to inhabit his mind, I began to fully appreciate just how twisted his mind must have been to have actually gone through with this. As I alluded to earlier, this was a man who crawled out of bed somewhere that morning, entirely aware that this might be his last day alive, and that this life-threatening situation he was going to encounter that day was by his own design. He was purposely putting himself in that danger, and he was perfectly fine putting others in that danger for his own selfish reasons. So his capacity for following through with this heist really demonstrates to me that any Cooper suspect has to possess one of two psychological profiles. And the reality is that he probably needs to possess both of these profiles to some extent. The first of these two profiles that I have come up with, I just discussed, that being the criminal mindset required. The second profile that he might need to possess is one defined by, I guess, severe mental trauma or an ongoing mental illness. My study of the other hijackers from that era has really been informative. I've looked into dozens of these hijackings back then, not just the copycat paratrackers, but all of them. And really not a single one of these guys could be classified as being in their right mind. They all appeared to be suffering from some sort of schizophrenia coupled with, I don't know, delusions of grandeur. And engaging in this sort of deadly activity with these horrible odds is really almost demonstrative of a sort of disassociative sense of invincibility, I guess. But this sort of traditional psychopathy of the schizophrenic type isn't the only form of mental illness that I've noticed with these hijackers. There's also a long line of these men who suffered from PTSD, mainly from experiences in the Vietnam War. There's really a long list of these sorts. Rob Hetty, Richard McCoy, Richard LaPointe, Francis Goodell, Billy Hurst, Roger Holder, Frank Sibley, Ronald Bowl, all of these guys were experiencing some trauma from the war. So I think if we really try to get into the mindset of an individual who would have crawled out of bed that morning and then went and committed the hijacking of Flight 305, then I think we'll realize that he really needs to have either an extreme criminal mindset and or be struggling with some major mental trauma. Of course, I understand some of the counterarguments that will be made by those who think that Cooper doesn't fit within one of these two profiles. You could say, well, Ryan, he didn't act like a typical bank robber. He was cool and calm and was courteous and was a gentleman. He even offered tips to the stewardesses and ordered crew meals. How nice. Well, okay, that's fine, but do these factors somehow negate the act that he was actually engaging in? Was Ted Bundy any less of a murderer because he was nice to his victims? Up until he wasn't, of course. No, Ted Bundy was still a murderer. So by that same token, Dan Cooper was still an airline hijacker and extortionist, regardless of how polite and nice and well-mannered and gentlemanly he was. He was still committing a capital crime willingly. It's highly unlikely that anybody was forcing him to do this. So that's really just where my mind is currently at the case. I just wanted to bring this to you guys and talk through it, I guess. I mean, you know, feel free to disagree, of course. But I'll again ask you, try to imagine yourself going to your local airport tomorrow and leaving everything you've built in your life behind to go hijack an aircraft, fully knowing that tonight might be your last night alive. Whomever Dan Cooper was, he actually experienced what I'm asking you to imagine yourself doing. He actually made the conscious decision to commit this horrible crime. So as a community, I think we should not lose sight of that fact as we continue to investigate who this man really was.